You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 21st of February 2023 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I think I should start today by saying that I was actually pleasantly surprised yesterday. In the podcast that I did yesterday, I was talking about this lack of people there are actually from the lesbian, gay, bisexual and transsexual community that are speaking up against all this propagandizing of children. And there is a group that is speaking up against it from the LGBTQ community. They're called Gays Against Groomers. They say they are a coalition of gay people who oppose the recent trend of indoctrinating, sexualizing and medicalizing children under the guise of LGBTQIA. Plus, and I'm not sure how popular they are, but they do appear to be active on Twitter, and they are speaking out against this propagandizing of children. So there are some people in that community which are concerned about this just as much as we are, which is good to see. Anyway, today I want to talk about a different subject today. I want to talk about racial differences today, and the particular racial difference that we're going to be concentrating on is one that we are more used to seeing talked about by American Renaissance. They have quite a few different pages on the differences that there are, the statistical differences that there are between the races with regards to sexually transmitted diseases. And I'm going to talk about this today because it's been highlighted in Britain at the moment. As I say, we're used to seeing it being talked about by AMREM, but it's now being highlighted in Britain as well because there is a huge statistical difference. Black people have the highest rate of sexually transmitted infections in Britain, and officials are not doing enough to address the issues, sexual health experts have warned. Well, they're probably concerned that they might get accused of being racist if they highlight this. I mean, it's a bit of a difficult situation. If they highlight the fact that there is a difference in the rate of these infections, people are either going to say, if people don't believe in racial differences, they're either going to say, well, that must be because they're not hygienic enough, or they're not engaging in safe enough sex, or they're having more partners. And of course, people are going to say, well, that's racist. And at the same time, if people aren't going to accept that, and they aren't going to accept that there are actually innate differences between peoples, then they're going to say, well, this has to be due to racism somehow. This has to be down to racism. It's not down to racism. I don't think it's down to bad practices. I think it's just down to the fact that people are different. This is where we have this difference with our opponents. We say that, yes, there are statistically observable patterns. There are racial differences that we can observe, and they're down to our eyes not deceiving us. And in actual fact, what we have here are different subspecies of human who have differences, basically, different biological differences. We already know that there are differences in the sorts of diseases that the different races get. We know that sickle cell anemia, for instance, is a particularly black disease. We know that cystic fibrosis is particularly a white disease. And we know that Tay-Sachs disease is something that is specific to Jews. So we already know that there are these different diseases that people catch. And I think what is happening here is that there is a different frequency of sexually transmitted infections as well. And it is a huge difference. Black Britons have disproportionately high rates of various STI diagnoses compared to white Britons, with those of Black Caribbean heritage specifically having the highest rates for chlamydia, gonorrhea, herpes and trichomoniasis. And of course, what they're saying here is they're trying to imply that this is down to racism. This is down to the health system being racist. I would suggest that if you actually look at the rates of these diseases in Africa, you'll see that there isn't any difference. So it's not being caused by racism. I think this is just the fact that we have a different people group here that is more susceptible to diseases. Experts have told The Independent that healthcare providers are failing to address these disparities in STIs. They have called for more research to fully understand the complicated reasons why STIs are higher among people of black ethnicity. And another one is prostate cancer. Black males tend to catch prostate cancer more often. So you have diseases that are almost specifically amongst the different racial groups. And you also have different frequencies of disease amongst different racial groups, because of course prostate cancer, white people get prostate cancer, but black people tend to get prostate cancer, have a much higher incidence of prostate cancer, which would tend to imply that this is down to differences in biology. And that's what we say as nationalists, we say these differences are there because there is a different biology. Form is intimately connected with function. If something has a different form, then it very likely has a different function. And our eyes are not deceiving us when we see that these different ethnicities are different to one another. That is because they are different to one another in many ways. Of course, our opponents will say, well, it's just a different skin colour. You just hate different skin colours. And of course, that's rubbish. We don't hate anybody. We certainly don't hate people because of an arbitrary dislike of certain colours. We just think that there are differences between people groups, and we should accept that there are differences between people groups. And perhaps then we could actually target these resources better at solving some of the problems that the different people groups have. According to the latest data from the UK Health Security Agency, people of white ethnicity made up the majority of all new diagnoses, but the rate is highest in black groups when population size is considered. So what they're saying there is when we test people, most of these diseases are found amongst white people, but white people are about 10 times, 20 times the size in population than black people. I think blacks used to be about 3% of the population. I think they possibly make up about 5% now. So when you're actually looking at the number of black people there are, and you look at the percentage that have these diseases, then it's much, much higher than amongst whites. And they put a graph there for us to have a look at. They haven't actually given us the exact numbers, but you can work out the numbers from the graph. It says, here is a graph showing the latest statistics of STIs among women in 2021, broken down by ethnicity. And this is the rate by 100,000 people of the population. Chlamydia. And in the black ethnicity, black Caribbean, this is, there are 900 cases per 100,000 of the population. And if you look at the white people group, there's only 200 cases for every 100,000 of the population. So that means black Caribbeans are 4.5 times more likely to have chlamydia for some reason. And they also include some other ethnicities here. They also include, it's black Caribbean that seems to have the highest. They also include black other and mixed. And they all have similarly high statistics. And then they have Asian there. And the Asian statistics are all about half as much as the white, which is interesting. So whites are sort of twice as likely to have these STIs than Asians. And it doesn't specify whether they mean Asian as in Chinese or Asian as in Muslim, Pakistani Muslim. And I am guessing that what they mean here is Asian as in Chinese, because what we tend to find with these statistics is you get black people at one end, whites in the middle, and Chinese, Asian people at the other end. If you're looking at IQ, for instance, you'll find blacks have a lower average IQ, white IQ average is 100, and then when you look at Chinese IQ, it's about 105. It's slightly higher. When you look at prison rates, you look at the black prison rate, I think they're 5 times more likely than white people to be in prison for violent crimes. And yet when you look at the Chinese Asian population, they're about half as likely to be in prison for a violent crime as if they were white. So I am guessing that where they have this Asian numbers here, that they're talking about Chinese rather than Muslims. But they do have some very startling statistics here. Gonorrhea, the black ethnic group, has 250 cases of gonorrhea every 100,000 of the population. The white people group, 25. So that means blacks are 10 times more likely to have gonorrhea than whites. Syphilis, the black group have 10 per 100,000 of the population catch syphilis on average. The white group, 5. So twice as likely to have syphilis. Genital herpes, blacks will have 150 cases of that per 100,000 of the population, whereas whites will have 40. So three times as likely. Genital warts, blacks will have 50 cases of that every 100,000 of the population. Whites will have 25, so twice as likely. And then we come to the most surprising one, trichomoniasis. Blacks will, on average, there will be 115 of them that have trichomoniasis per 100,000 of the population, whereas with whites, it's just 5. So blacks are over 20 times more likely to have trichomoniasis than white people are. And trichomoniasis, I hadn't heard of that before, so I looked that up. Trichomoniasis is an infectious disease caused by the parasite Trichomonas vaginalis. About 70% of affected people do not have symptoms when infected. When symptoms occur, they typically begin 5 to 28 days after exposure. Symptoms can include itching in the genital area, a bad-smelling thin vaginal discharge, burning with urination, and pain with sex. So it sounds like a horrible thing to catch. Perhaps what's going on here is that black people don't get those symptoms. And perhaps it could be, because it says here 70% of affected people do not have symptoms, but they do not say whether that is 70% of black people or 70% of white people. Of course, if they were to do that, then they might get accused of racism again because they're differentiating the groups. But this is what needs to be done to understand why there is this difference in the diseases, because it could be that black people don't get these symptoms of itching in the genital area or a bad smell or pain during sex, and they wouldn't know that they actually have it, which could explain why there is such a high rate of black people that have it. They don't realise that they have it because they don't actually have these symptoms. But we don't know that because they're not doing this research into that. They're just doing this research into sexually transmitted infections, and I guess people are just sort of self-identifying when they get this test done. It says this is far from a new phenomenon. The rate of STI diagnoses has remained disproportionately high in black men and women since at least 1994. So I guess what they're saying there is that they started taking these statistics in 1994. Are they saying that before then the rate was exactly the same as white people? And we just don't know. And also what they don't say here is they don't tell us what the rates of sexually transmitted infections are in Africa. And we do know from Africa, and I can just tell you this off the top of my head, that we have very high instances of HIV, very high instances of AIDS. So it may well be that there are also very high instances of these other diseases, these other sexually transmitted diseases that they have in Africa. And if they do have this high proportion of them with these diseases in Africa, then that would tend to imply that this hasn't been caused by racism. This has been caused by an innate difference. And when we look at the amount of violent crime that goes on in Africa, we can see that it goes on there just as much as it does within the black communities in multicultural countries. And of course, we're told that the reason why there are more black people in prison for violent crimes in multicultural countries is because the justice system is somehow racist against black people. But we see the same thing happening in Africa. We see the same thing happening in South America. So it cannot be that it's actually caused by racism. It's caused by they are different people to us. And we would then get accused of, oh, well, that's inciting hate against them to say that there are more violent criminals amongst them. Well, no, because it means that there are more victims amongst them as well. The biggest victims of the violent criminal types among the black community are black people themselves. They are the biggest victims of it. So I would suggest that you're more inclined to actually have sympathy for the black people that aren't violent criminals having to put up with this high percentage of violent crime that there is within their community. And then, of course, because we have multicultural countries and because it's always easier to carry out a crime on somebody from a different ethnic group than you, from a different extended family to you, then it means that the other communities that live in these multicultural countries also suffer from this increased crime. So I would suggest it would be much better for the people groups to just live amongst themselves. And then you would find that the black community have a way of dealing with the violent criminals within their community. They've always had a way of dealing with them. And it might be very different to the way that we deal with criminals in the West with our justice system and the way that that works. Because we see that black people complain that the way that our justice system works in the West disproportionately picks on them. They feel that it doesn't work as well for them as it should. And that's probably because they had a different way historically of dealing with their criminals. But of course we say, oh no, we know what's best. One size fits all. The Western way is best. And we're just going to force it upon you. And we're going to have everybody all living together in one territory, which again, I would say it's not conducive to having a happy life, having a content life, and having a sense of community, living with multiculturalism. But we've gone a little bit off topic here. I mean, what they're effectively saying here is there is this huge difference in the rate of STI diagnoses amongst the different racial groups. And what they're going to imply here in a minute is that this is caused by racism, of course. Research conducted through the Health Protection Research Unit found that there were no clinical or behavioural factors explaining the disproportionately high rates of STI diagnoses among black people. So they're saying it's not a behavioural factor. So it can't be that they have more partners. It can't be that they're not being hygienic. And I would suggest the only thing that it could be is that there is actually a difference between black people and white people, just the same as there is between us and Asian people. I would say the reason why there are these different statistics is because there are innate differences. There are differences that are based upon biology. Just as black people have different facial features, different sized skulls, a different thickness to their bones, different bodily proportion, just as they have these observable differences, which are far more different than just a different skin color, just as there are these observed differences with a form, there are also differences with the inside, with the way that they deal with diseases. For instance, they do seem to be more susceptible to these diseases. Perhaps they don't have such a good immunity system as white people do. And perhaps that's not really the way to look at it. Perhaps the way to look at it is that they have developed a different way of dealing with these diseases. I mean, it may be that they just live with them and it doesn't bother them as much as it would bother somebody who was white. So that may answer this trichomoniasis thing, for instance. It may be that they don't actually get the painful symptoms from it as much as white people do. And it's something that has existed among them for many years without causing a problem. We just don't know. Higher rates of poverty and poor health literacy among marginalized communities are all linked with higher STI rates, according to a 2016 study, which found that behavioral and contextual factors are likely to be contributing. So this basically just denies what they've just told us, doesn't it? It contradicts what they've just told us. They've just told us there was a study done that found that there were no behavioral factors explaining this. And then they tell us here there is another study that was done which says that it's behavioural factors which are likely to be contributing. And when they look here and they say, well, there's higher rates of poverty and poor health literacy are also linked with this, it may be that the areas that they looked at that were described as living in poverty, they may have been black areas in the first place. So that may be distorting the figures here. It may be that because black people have a higher propensity for these diseases, and black people also tend to live in more deprived areas, which I would say is not down to racism. It's down to the fact that they have a different average IQ, so they're going to be less likely to earn as much money as somebody with a high IQ. So that would mean that they're living amongst each other in one area, and as well as it being an area which is of a low income, described as poverty, it would also be an area with a very high proportion of black people within it. And this is particularly what we see in America. You don't tend to see it so much over here in Britain, but you do see that in America. And the study that's being referred to here, I mean, it may be a study in America that was done. Again, it doesn't exactly tell us. Having sexual partnerships overlapping in time, especially when condoms are not used, is also higher among black Caribbean people than other ethnic groups. It has been found. So they're not exactly saying that it's racism there, but again, this is a difference that we find. When we first went into Africa, for instance, we discovered that the tribes there had a different cultural understanding of marriage. What we have in the West, we have one man, one woman is marriage. And amongst these African tribes, they shared their women, basically. And a chief would often have dozens of different women that were his wives. And there was a lot of what we would call today sleeping around. And that was just the way that they lived. That was just their culture, which would tie in with them having a stronger resistance to the harmful effects of these diseases, these harmful symptoms. And that would tie in with that. And as it says here, they discovered that the more sexual partnerships overlapping in time occurred amongst the Black Caribbean community. So saying that that could be the reason why there is these higher instances. But then they say, moreover, experiences of racism among black people can fuel a reluctance to engage with sexual health services and test frequently, according to HIV activist Susan Cole Haley. So according to an activist, it's racism which is causing this. It's racism that is preventing them from going to get themselves tested. As I say, it may be that they're not actually experiencing the symptoms, and that may be why they do not go and get themselves tested, because they don't actually feel any symptoms from this, because over time their bodies have got used to dealing with this, because as a part of their culture they tend to pass the women around. If we go back in time, that is what we discover. Up until the 50s, I think, in America, there was still a high incidence of husband and wife staying together in Africa. But over time, it seems as if they've gone back to how they were when they were in Africa without this one woman, one man thing. We have this phenomenon of baby daddies. And we also see, I think, that black children, about 80% of them or 90% of them in America, they don't have a father figure that's there with the mother. And that seems to me as if that's reverted back to the way that they used to live in Africa. Whereas before that, before when white people were considered to be different from blacks and had their different communities, white people would try to set this example of staying together with one man and one wife. And this is the example that the black slaves saw in America. And that was the example that they followed. And I think they followed that for a long time, right up until the 50s, the 60s, that sort of time. And then since then, we see that there have been what we would call in the West more and more broken homes, more and more single mothers, which is more like the system that we found when we first had anthropologists going into Africa and looking at these tribes. And I'm saying this is because there are differences between people groups. It's not because of racism. It's not because, as it says here, it's not because of a hygiene problem. It's not because of a behavioral problem. It's because there are differences in biology. There are differences between these people groups. And of course, what the Independent here, which is the left-wing newspaper, what that's trying to do is trying to pretend that there isn't these differences. And it's saying there's got to be another reason. If it's not behavioral, it's not clinical, it has to be racism. It can't possibly be that what we have here is a different people group, a different subspecies of human being, which has a higher incidence of sexually transmitted infections because their bodies are better at dealing with it. Or perhaps it is that their bodies are just more susceptible to it. As I was saying, it may be that they don't have such a strong immunity system as people in the West, or it may be that they have a very strong immunity system that can deal with these diseases and doesn't give them many of the uncomfortable symptoms from it. This HIV activist told The Independent, "I very much believe that it is linked to socio-economic disadvantage and racism. Often in healthcare settings, which can be a significant barrier for people to accessing testing, for instance, and feeling comfortable engaging with care." And remember, she's an HIV activist, and she's saying this is linked to socio-economic disadvantage and racism. Well, what is the AIDS problem linked to in Africa then? If you have the same thing here and you have high incidences of HIV, which isn't actually included in the survey, but all the other sexually transmitted infections are included, but you also have very high instances of them in Africa. And you can't say that there's racism that's going on in Africa, and that's the reason why they have these high incidences of it. But of course, she doesn't look at the statistics in Africa. All she does is look at it over here, and she wants to blame racism for it because there is this difference, and because she's been taught that there can't actually be innate differences. The only difference there is between black people and white people is the colour of the skin. That is what most people believe because they don't bother to look into the science of it. Or another reason is because the racial science is not publicised as much as it used to be. I mean, obviously, you can find this information on websites like American Renaissance, but in most places, they will just parrot this idea that race is just a social construct and it's just about different skin colours. And the people that talk about these differences, they just talk about them because they hate the colour of the skin. I mean, it's such a ridiculous argument. She says, "We need more funding and we need to tackle the racism that people are experiencing in healthcare settings." I would say, yes, they do need more funding, but it needs to be targeted at finding out the reason why there is this difference, not targeted at assuming, well, it must be racism, therefore we have to put all the doctors on a diversity course on how black people have suffered all these microaggressions. That's not going to solve the problem, is it? What they need to be looking at is the differences in biology between black people and white people that might be the reason for this. Because, of course, we already know there are different diseases that black people get than white people get. We know there is a difference in number in black people that get prostate cancer and white people that get it. So we already know that there are these innate differences. Why are they not applying that to this and saying, well, this could also be innate differences? And then you could target the money at them. And if we had a healthcare service that investigated the differences between the ethnicities, then you could really target medicines as well for the different ethnicities instead of having this one-size-fits-all approach. Because there are certain medicines that work for men, but they don't work for women. And I'm sure there are certain medicines that work for specific ethnic types. But if you're going to say everybody is all the same, the medicine that's used has to work for everyone, you're not going to end up with really sort of tailor-made medicines that are really good for people. It's like sort of saying everybody has to fit into the same size of clothing, which is ridiculous. And in actual fact, that's why a lot of clothing doesn't properly fit, is because they try to make clothing that's going to fit all the different ethnic groups at once. And you just can't do that because the different ethnic groups have different proportions. Government spending on contraception and STI testing and treatment fell by almost 17% between 2020 and 2021. Well, I think that was during the COVID lockdowns, wasn't it? According to a report from the Local Government Association, local authorities cut £1 billion from the UK public health grant over the past decade. Meanwhile, calls for these disparities to be tackled have routinely fallen on deaf ears due to gatekeeping, another expert said. Dr. Annabel Soemimo, a sexual health doctor and author of Divided, Racism, Medicine, and Why We Need to Decolonize Healthcare, told The Independent the idea that communities, and particular black Caribbean communities, haven't been flagging this issue for decades is just a false narrative. But she's saying here she wants to decolonize healthcare. So she wants to take white people out from healthcare, who are the people that discovered a lot of these infections and how to fight them. I mean, I would suggest that yes, the resources need to be targeted towards the people that are most likely to get these diseases. But we need to find out why it is. It's no good saying, well, this has to be because of racism, because I don't think it can be down to racism. We see the same thing happening in Africa. She says there's an extensive history of reproductive health campaigning, particularly among black women, saying that there are risks of sexually transmitted infections and HIV, and asking for the facilities and the tools to ensure that they can reduce those infections. Often this has gone unnoticed by people that provide services and want to provide a one-mode-fits-all service for these communities. So she seems to be sort of agreeing with me here that, you know, we have to have tailored medical care based on the particular group. But of course, then you run the risk of being accused of racism because you're treating groups differently. You know, until we accept that there are differences between ethnicities, we're not really going to properly be able to target these resources at the people that need them. She said charities which could address these issues within their own communities often don't get funding, with favour given to larger organisations that do not have facilitators or people that understand the needs of the communities. This is the perpetual cycle that we're in with addressing health inequalities within black communities, she said. So she's looking at it, it's an inequality there that needs to be fixed, as if it's something there that's unnatural. And what I would suggest is that, no, this is natural. There is a difference. And the difference is innate to the different people groups. That's why Asians only get half as many of these sexually transmitted infections as white people, because Asians are different biologically to white people. And I would say the reason why blacks are more susceptible to them is because black people are biologically different to white people. I mean, it just seems so common sense to me. But according to these activists, that's not what it is. It's racism. Specialists are now calling upon the government to launch tailored public health messaging campaigns and ramp up efforts to counter these disparities across the infection rates. A 2020 study by BMC Public Health suggested a number of interventions among black communities, particularly Caribbeans, should be developed to address STI risks, and these haven't happened. And again, you'd have to be so careful, because you would be accused of racism for saying that there was this difference in the statistics. And if you say that it could be anything else, then they're going to say, well, you're saying that there's a difference here between the people groups. Which, of course, you mustn't do. You've got to just pretend that everybody is all the same. Data from HIV Prevention England and the Terence Higgins Trust shows much lower levels of knowledge about HIV pre-exposure prophylaxis in people of black, African origin living in England than there is among white, gay and bisexual men, despite them having a much higher prevalence of HIV than people from other ethnic minorities. And, of course, they haven't given us any statistics on HIV, so they're basically deflecting from what the subject is about. I mean, this article is about sexually transmitted infections, and they haven't actually included HIV in that. But when you do include HIV in that, of course, people will then say, but don't they have a massive high incidence of HIV and AIDS in Africa? How can they be saying this is down to racism when you've got the same problem in Africa? The risks are stark. Just last year, it emerged that black women are being disproportionately affected by trichomoniasis vaginalis, a lesser-known sexually transmitted infection that can increase the risk of contracting HIV if left untreated. Now, again, this is interesting, because this might be the reason why black people in Africa have such high instances of HIV. It may be that because they're used to living with this trichomoniasis vaginalis infection, that's the reason why more of them contract HIV, is because more of them have this trichomoniasis. All sexually transmitted infections can be treated, but some, such as chlamydia, can harm fertility if it goes undetected, and HIV patients left without care face lethal risks. Well, we don't see many problems with fertility amongst the black community. I think they have some of the highest fertility among the people groups in the world. According to Dwayne Wilson Hunt, chair of the Racially Minoritized Special Interest Group within the British Association of Sexual Health and HIV, healthcare providers are not doing enough to support the needs of racially minoritized communities. Interesting wording there. Racially minoritized. What do they mean there? A group that has been forcefully turned into a minority. Well, if they come to a country where they only make up a small percentage of the population, they're willfully minoritizing themselves, aren't they? It just seems to me that this is a way to try and blame white people for the fact that there is a difference between people groups, as if white people have minoritized them, white people have turned them into a minority. They themselves have voluntarily gone to join a group which is only a minority in that country, instead of either staying or going to a country where they are a majority. He says, until very recently, there has been no interventions created to support the needs of racially minoritized communities, and that needs to be fixed. People are accessing services online, which he has described as encouraging. But the reasons for the disparities are multifaceted, and so will require a very multifaceted approach, looking at how we can improve and support people from minoritized communities in receiving better sexual health care. So he's saying that they need more care, they need more medicine. That's going to solve the problem. And this country, where they are a minority, hasn't set up special interventions to support their needs. Well, that's because they haven't been in this country for very long. That's why. We've only had minorities in our country for the last about 70 years. That's why there haven't been these specific medical interventions that have been created to target them. It's because they've come to a country where they are a minority. And that's the reason why we haven't had these interventions created. It's not because, you know, we hate the colour of the skin or something like that. The Department of Health and Social Care told The Independent it is taking action to address the disparities in sexual health, pointing to various funding packages that it has rolled out. We have committed nearly £4 million to deliver a national HIV prevention programme to reduce the impact of HIV and raise awareness of STI prevention strategies among the most affected communities, including black communities, a spokesperson said. Additionally, our HIV action plan includes measures to improve access to pre-exposure drugs for groups at risk, and we have funded 17 projects aiming to improve the sexual and reproductive health of black communities in England over the past 6 years. So they have actually put resources into this. The government says it has also provided over $3.4 billion to local authorities through the public health grant, but council leaders recently warned that these services were at breaking point. Dr. Hamish Mohammed, consultant epidemiologist at the UK Health Security Agency, said the UK HSA routinely monitors trends in STIs and shares this data with local authorities to help guide local decision making and to take action to reduce sexual health inequalities. Dr. Habib Naqvi, director of the NHS Race and Health Observatory, said stark variations in access, experience, and outcomes embedded in socioeconomic and structural factors must not be allowed to continue. So, reading between the lines there, what Habib Naqvi is saying is that there is structural racism. That is what is to blame here. A variation in access, experience, and outcomes. So he's saying because there is a difference in outcomes, because black people are more likely to catch these diseases, it has to be down to structural racism, structural factors. It cannot be allowed to continue. But I think the facts of the matter are that there are these differences because it's down to biology. That's all it can be down to. If you see the same high incidences of sexually transmitted diseases in Africa that you see in multicultural countries, then it cannot be something down to the environment in multicultural countries. It has to be something that is innate. And of course, I talk about this because I want to highlight the fact that there are differences between these people groups. And it's not going to make you suddenly hate this other people group. It means you're going to have more sympathy for them because you're finding out that they're more likely to have these diseases. And instead of looking into the reason why that is, we keep telling them, well, it's because of racism. That's why. It's because of racism. We just need to put more money into addressing these inequalities, and then this problem won't continue. That's not going to solve the problem. To solve the problem, you have to look at the differences. Look at what makes black people different from white people to see why it is that they're more susceptible to these diseases. Of course, we won't do that because we pretend that there is no biological difference and it's just a different skin colour. Whereas just about every statistic there is, when we look at averages like we are here, in just about every measurement that it is possible to take, we see that there are differences between groups in the statistics that we get. And they can't all be down to racism, particularly not if you observe the same differences in Africa, which we do here. We see this huge instance of AIDS and HIV in Africa. So when you come to a multicultural country and you also see a high number of sexually transmitted diseases, why is it that we say this must be down to racism? Why is it that we pretend that it can't be that there is actually a difference between people groups? If we would face up to that, we would be able to target the resources somewhere where they're actually going to be able to make a difference, instead of just trying to make things equal that never have been equal, that weren't created to be equal. They were created to be different. That's what matters, and preserving that diversity, which is what we want to do as nationalists. We don't want everybody to be the same. We want to preserve the differences that are there. Differences in culture, of course. We would like to see if we can improve things like this, such as the number of sexually transmitted infections that there are between different ethnicities. But in order to do that, you need to find out what the difference is in biology that causes that, rather than instantly jumping up and saying, well, it has to be down to racism. Let's find a way that we can blame white people. You know, it's ridiculous. And it just means that, as I say, it just means that the resources are not being targeted in the right place where they're actually going to be able to do something about it. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.